You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Walking is a quintessentially human experience, and many of us, but not all of us, are fortunate enough to walk in relative safety. Walking is described by health practitioners as a keystone habit, which is one that generates a chain reaction that helps other good habits to take hold. Hippocrates, considered the father of modern medicine, referred to walking as humanity's best medicine. Whatever the challenge, dilemma, problem, or issue we're experiencing, it's almost always improved by a good walk. And that is what we'll be exploring today. Just what is a good walk? With our guest, Dr. Michael Gelb. Michael Gelb is fifth degree black belt Aikido and a teacher of Tai Chi and the Alexander Technique. He's a pioneer in fields of creative thinking, accelerated learning, and innovative leadership. Gelb leads seminars and leadership coaching for organizations such as DuPont, Emerson, Merck, Nike, and many others. He's the author of 17 books, including How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci. And he's co-author with Bruce Furtman of Walking Well, a new approach for comfort, vitality, and inspiration in every step. Join us for the next hour as we explore many effective aspects to how to walk better with our guest, Dr. Michael Gelb. I'm speaking with Michael at his home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Michael, welcome.
Great to be with you again. Thank you.
Oh, it's so fine to be with you again, too. Michael, I mentioned in the beginning in this introduction that walking is a keystone habit. What does that mean?
Sure. Well, the term keystone habit was actually introduced by Charles Duhigg in his best-selling book, The Power of Habit. And a keystone habit is a habit that brings out a lot of other habits. So, for example, a negative keystone habit might be drinking too much. You drink too much and it messes up your whole life.
It has so repercussions, doesn't it?
Right? Yes. So that's a negative keystone. But a positive keystone habit is something like walking well. That brings out other habits. When you walk well, you're more in touch with your body, so you're more likely to eat well and sleep well, and you have a better sense of yourself, so you're less likely to want to drink too much. So it's a positive keystone habit. And what we do in walking well is help our readers not just appreciate how important it is to walk, especially obviously to walk in nature, and all of the wonderful health benefits, which are research validated over and over again. Every day you're reading another story in the New York Times or Prevention Magazine. Oh my God, walking is the absolute best thing. It's even better than you thought. But what if you could make every step a little more comfortable? What if you knew the secret of just getting a little more energy from every step you take? And what if you knew the secret of the greatest geniuses in human history, who almost without exception knew that there was something about walking that helped them do their best thinking? So that's what walking well is all about.
You know, Michael, as you say that, I really contemplated as I went through the book. First of all, I want to say I have a foot impairment right now. I cannot walk without pain, and this has gone on for 5 months. I'm going to figure it out. I'm on the way to figuring it out. I thought about, before that impairment happened, how I walked. Michael, I walked strictly for putting in my steps. You know, it was not a joy. It was a task. It was something I had to do, and I knew I had to do it for my health. I did not enjoy it. I would set my timer, and I would time it and all of that. And your book is saying something else about, besides walking comfortably. So talk about that approach. Expand on that approach.
Sure. Well, thank you for sharing that, because you just articulated why we needed to write this book. Because I'm sitting here in my office. There's a big picture window. My neighbors go walking by, and they're doing what you are doing. They're trying to get in their steps. So they're overstriding, or they're just plodding or schlepping and shuffling along. And I look at this with compassion, because look, I had a hip replacement and a knee replacement. I had to teach myself how to walk all over again multiple times. So I've gone really, really deep into this, and I have compassion for all who are suffering from various impairments and impediments and so on. So a couple weeks ago, I led a seminar at the Omega Institute on walking well. And it was really fun, because it was the first full weekend program based on the book. I've taught lots of private lessons and small seminars for groups, but this was the first public open program. And there was a woman, we actually did a video interview with her afterwards, because she came up to me and she said, I've had a transformational experience. She said, I've been in pain, my legs have been in pain for as long as I can remember. And she said, and she was crying. She said, I'm out of pain now. My feet, my legs feel good. And I said, well, tell me, you know, what happened? She said, well, when you are explaining how to walk in a natural way, how to have a sense of reverence when you connect with the earth, how to feel the support of the earth, how to give up the idea of the foot strike. That's what people say when you walk. You should have your foot, the heel should strike the ground. What a violent, horrible image. And my co-author Bruce Spertman and I try to help people think instead about feeling caressed by the earth with every step you take. And she said, you know, what really happened? She said, I was so moved. She said, I apologized to my feet for pounding them along. And my pain in my legs is gone for the first time in years. And I was so moved by that, because what we're really, you know, we're not just talking about a biomechanical approach to walking more naturally. We're talking about a real shift of paradigm about what it means to be connected to Mother Earth, what it means to walk through this world, to walk through your life with comfort, with vitality, with inspiration, with grace, with dignity, with poise, with joy. And that is the real passion of my co-author and myself, that just once we got the idea to do this, I mean, it was only slightly over a year and a half ago that we said we're doing this, and here we are. The book is now out. It's happening, and because it was really downloaded from the universe, just okay, we're taking dictation from higher intelligence. And here's what's up.
I love it. I love it, Michael. And so you mentioned like Mother Earth and being on the earth. And I know that there's something that you say, we are not standing on our feet. We're doing something else. So can you kind of describe that more in depth?
Sure. Well, look, we all grew up. Somebody probably told us at some point, stand on your own two feet. And as a suggestion for developing your own financial wherewithal, your own independence and sense of self, bravo, good advice. But in terms of actual standing, physiologically, it's of course utterly impossible. You can't stand on your feet because your feet are part of you. So we never stand on the feet. We always stand on the earth. Even if you are on the 97th floor of a skyscraper in Manhattan, that floor is transferring the weight all the way down and you're being supported by the earth. I guess you're not being supported by the earth if you're walking down the aisle of an airplane, but
right. maybe a little exception.
But it's still not, no, but you're still not standing on your feet. You're standing on the floor of the airplane.
Right.
You're still in the Earth's field of gravity. So effectively, you're still being supported by Mother Earth. And so one of the very first people, as we evolved this methodology and figured out the simplest way to teach it and communicate it so that we could really explain it in a book and the reader could just read it and say, oh yeah, I can do that. So every step I've taken since we got this idea, I have been thinking about this. But I was teaching a friend of mine who's a healer. She runs a place called Santa Fe Soul. It's a beautiful place, obviously, in Santa Fe. She does all kinds of healing. Her name's Dr. Robin Benson. Wonderful, gifted, fabulous person. And I was taken for a walk, and I got her to just practice some of the simple things that we guide our readers to do just in the first section of the book. And we weren't even talking yet about what you and I are talking about being supported by the earth, and you can't stand on your own two feet. You always stand. And she said, oh, when I release the tension in my ankles and my feet that I didn't realize I had, she was bracing for impact with every step. She said, when she released that, she said, whoa, I really feel the support of Mother Earth. This just changes everything. Because, you know, especially in the U.S., we have this idea of rugged individuality. And there's, you know, obviously something really good about it. It's good to be strong. It's good to have your own wherewithal. It's good to take the initiative. All that stuff is great. But we are totally interdependent. And we are utterly, utterly dependent on Mother Earth, on the troposphere, which provides the air that we breathe, our atmosphere that protects us and allows us to thrive. And when you experience, it's one thing to get this intellectually, or you're reading the paper, it says climate change, oh my God, and you're reading this, you say, yikes. But here, you could have a visceral experience of that connection.
I'm here with Michael Gelb. He is the co-author of Walking Well, A New Approach for Comfort, Vitality, and Inspiration in Every Step. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Michael Gelb. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, michaelgelb.com. And he spells his last name G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. Michael, as we're talking and you're talking about being with this woman in Santa Fe and she's talking about the way that she's walking and the other woman who talked about releasing her ankles, let's talk about that walking, that peeling you describe so vividly in the book, the peeling of your foot rather than the striking of your foot.
Yes. Well, here's my guidance for everyone, and it is to literally take this step by step. And it takes, to do it properly, just to get it, it takes about 45 minutes of experimentation. So we can give people the clue of what to experiment with, but let's not pretend that if I just say, do this, don't do that, you can just say, okay, I listened to Justine and Michael on New Dimensions, and now I'm transformed. No, it takes a little bit of time to completely change every step that you're going to take for the rest of your life. A little patient exploration, but I can guide people to get started on that exploration. And the first thing we have people do is just to consider their preconceptions and their conditioning about walking. Because most of us grew up with some kind of notion of how we should walk. And a lot of it is gender related. So guys grew up with, walk like a man. How does the marshal walk into the saloon to shoot the bad guy? John Wayne.
John Wayne comes to mind. Boy, he had such a distinctive walk.
He sure did, right? Or Clint Eastwood. And for women, a lot of women grew up with walk like a lady. You remember those images of charm school balancing the books on your head and walk in heels and all this sort of stuff.
Or imitate like the walk down a walkway for a fashion show.
Exactly. And then we also have the strong reaction against those things. So I'm going to do not that. And I'm going to not walk that. So either way, we tend to be conditioned or reacting to our condition. So this exploration begins with a real, real curiosity, which is, what's my natural gait? What is my natural, healthy, instinctive gait? And leaving aside the conditioning we get from society and perhaps our parents, how has my gait been impacted by injury, by trauma, by all of the slings and arrows that we've all been through? Because what happens is a lot of times we get an injury, it throws off our balance, and then we compensate for the injury. And even after we've healed the injury, the compensation throws us out of whack. So one of the ways to get back in whack and discover your natural gait is to begin exploring how to awaken your kinesthetic and proprioceptive awareness. And we have an exercise in the book. It takes about 20 minutes to do it if you do the version that you can read in the book. The good news is that once people get the book, they'll get the link to some of the videos. And one of them is a guided meditation on how to awaken your kinesthetic and proprioceptive sense. Because then you can feel what you're doing. Then you can notice where you're out of whack, and you could begin to make the corrections.
I need to ask you to say more, because we're not so familiar with proprioceptive awareness. I think we can kind of understand kinesthetic, but proprioceptive, what is that?
Okay, so we're going to do kinesthetic, proprioceptive, and interoceptive. Because these are KPI. These are the three key performance indicators for your life. Right? Kinesthetic, proprioceptive, interoceptive. So kinesthetic sense is your sense of weight, position, and movement. The proprioceptive sense is your sense that a part of you is you. It's how you know you are you and where you are in space. So here's a way, really simple way. I'm going to do this now, and then people can try it on their own. So if I close my eyes, and I aim to take my two index fingers and touch my nose, I can do that, right? So can you, right? Good. Now.
I just did it. He saw me do it, right?
Your kinesthetic sense tells you how to move your fingertips to your nose. Your proprioceptive sense tells you where your nose is and that it's your nose and your fingers. So if you feel the chair underneath you or the ground underneath you, you feel your interface with that chair. But you probably notice that the chair doesn't feel like you. It's something else. The ground underneath you, you feel it, you connect with it, but it's not you. So proprioceptive is the same root as proprietor. It's the sense of ownership. And it's a huge part of our sense of self. So when you sharpen and awaken the accuracy of both what you're actually doing when you move and where your body parts really are when you're moving, that's a clue to moving much better. But here's what might be the best part. As you do that, you awaken your interoceptive accuracy. And interoception is your gut feel, your sense of your blood whispering to you, your heart speaking to you, your bones guiding you, the higher mind, the intuition, the gut sense that has informed every great genius throughout human history. And it's why they get their best ideas when they're walking, because when you're walking, you get into this beautiful, natural rhythm, this harmonious flow. You connect with nature. You connect with your own nature. You connect, ideally, after a while with your natural gait. You feel your gut. You feel your bones. You feel your heart and your blood. They whisper to you, and you get that genius idea, which we then guide you to write down right away, as everyone from Mary Oliver to Thomas Hobbes to you name it, all tells us to do.
So what you've done is you've added to our awareness. We're used to what we see and what we hear, especially as we're walking and you know, touch and smell and all of that. So those five senses, you are giving us an awareness of some other senses that we have that really come into play. And even you've taken us to that place of genius that you often talk about, that intuitive mind that as we're walking, in fact, you say, and you just alluded to this, as you're walking, carry a little notebook and just allow that mind space to just, whatever image comes, just write it down, don't censor it. So I know you encourage that, don't you, Michael?
Not only do I encourage it, how do you think I've written all 18 of my books? I wrote Walking Well with Bruce, who was doing the same thing, my co-author. What we would both do is we would work. You know, I make a mind map and I start writing, and then there's a time, it's just time for a break, and I go for a walk. And then I come back. I never get writer's block because I always stop and go for a walk. Hello. Same thing with Bruce. He just would work and then go for a walk. Then we would have these meetings on Zoom or FaceTime to work through the collaboration and challenge each other and try to get it where we each wanted it to be. And we had these very intense, really creative conversations. And then if they would get to a point where we would be stuck, we would just say, let's take a break. We'll each go for a walk. We'll come back. We'll talk again. And invariably, we would make a breakthrough.
You know, Michael, I'm reminded, and I know you mentioned this in the book, there was a CEO of some company, and he had his offices someplace, and he decided to move his entire offices to a different location. Do you recall that person? Tell that story.
Yeah, that's John Forney, a fabulous guy, brilliant, brilliant guy. He's the CEO of this big risk management insurance company. He was a former Army Ranger. He's an MBA, remarkably accomplished Princeton graduate, brilliant guy, amazing analytical mind, spiritually evolved, and a really good heart. You know, he's the profile of the kinds of people who engage me, fortunately.
That's great. Yeah. And, very, very intelligent. And yes, imaginative.
And really cares about his people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been out to California. I've done a seminar for his team each year, the last couple of years. We're hoping to do one this year on walking. Because, yeah, he did move the offices and set up. He wanted people to have access to all these walking trails because so many of the best managers and leaders understand that if we have a conflict, if we have a problem, if we have a negotiation, and people say, well, let's face off across the table.
Right.
Lay out your, no, let's walk shoulder to shoulder. Let's look in the same direction. Let's tune into each other's rhythm. Let's take away the confrontational element, be out in nature, open our minds, open our hearts, and look for options for mutual gain, ideas for resolution that we hadn't even thought of before. So, yeah, I've been guiding my clients to walk. I've been taking them for walks in my executive coaching sessions. I mean, since the beginning of my career, literally, I taught my first corporate seminar, it was 1979 in Switzerland, and we took them for walks.
And you started off that way. I mean, that's interesting. Like when you go to a seminar, we think about, okay, we all come and sit in chairs and we start to hear the introduction and all of that. But you're saying, hey, now let's start a different way. And what you just said was really important in all this conflict work. As you say, mostly we face off with each other. But I just want to emphasize what you just said, because you said in walking, we're walking shoulder to shoulder, not face to face. And we are facing the same direction and probably starting to get in rhythm with one another. That is no small thing. So I'm thank you for mentioning that. I want to remind our listeners that I am here with Dr. Michael Gelb, co-author with Bruce Burtman of Walking Well, A New Approach for Comfort, Vitality, and Inspiration in Every Step. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our